So now we come to speak about the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima to the three children. What we will see is that they line up perfectly with the apparitions of the angel and the message of the angel. This focus on the sins of mankind and making reparation for the sins of mankind through prayer and sacrifice. 100 years ago, exactly 100 years ago, on the 13th of May, 1917, was a Sunday. 8 days previously, Pope Benedict XV had added the invocation, Queen of Peace, to the litany of Our Lady, because he said, the war has been dragging on, all of our efforts to stop the war have not been of avail, and he made this appeal to Catholics around the world to call out to Our Lady and ask her intercession for the cessation of this terrible world war. On that day itself, 100 years ago today, Benedict XV consecrated a new bishop. He consecrated a priest by the name of Eugenio Pacelli. Eugenio Pacelli was later to become Pius XII. Sometimes he has been called the Fatima Pope. So on the very day that Our Lady appeared, it was 8 days after Benedict XV's request to the Catholic world to pray to Our Lady to stop the world war, and it was on the very day of the consecration of a bishop who would become a pope, who would become a great promoter of Fatima. In May 1917, we're 7 or 8 months away from the final apparition of the guardian angel of Portugal. The children were now 10, 9, and 7 years old. Lucy was 10, Francisco was 9, and Jacinta was 7 years old. It was the Sunday after the Feast of the Ascension. The children went to Mass in the morning, and then they went to pasture their sheep. Obviously, if you're a shepherd, you got to work on Sunday, because sheep have to eat every single day. So you have to take them out every day. So there it was Sunday. They went to Mass, and then in the afternoon, they were out pasturing their sheep. And that day, they decided to pasture their sheep at a place called the Cova de Iria. It was a piece of property owned by Lucy's parents, but it was some distance away. And the geographical shape of the land is kind of like an amphitheater. It's certainly able to accommodate many people. So the children had to travel some distance in order to get there with their sheep, and they did not arrive until noon. They ate their lunch, and they recited the rosary, and Lucy says she doesn't remember whether it was the short version or the long version of the rosary that they said that day. And then they began to play by building a stone wall around a bush. Suddenly, they saw a flash of something that seemed to be lightning. They thought it was the coming of a thunderstorm, and they said to themselves, we need to get our sheep together and we need to go back home if there's going to be this thunderstorm. They were in the midst of driving their sheep down a hill when they saw another flash of lightning, and suddenly there was a beautiful lady that appeared on a holm oak tree that was right in front of them. So they're coming down this hill, and there's this holm oak tree. There's another flash, and all of a sudden there's this lady on this tree right next to them. The tree is only about a meter high. It's a well-formed tree. And Our Lady is sort of standing on top of a cloud. Our Lady herself is maybe 18 years old. She's described as perhaps being that age. She certainly appears to be very young. And she's diminutive. She's maybe 5 foot tall. She's small. And the children were very close to Our Lady as far as the distance between their face and hers, as opposed to Lourdes, where we know that Our Lady appeared in this grotto, and she was sort of up in a niche at a distance. So Bernadette was always looking up at Our Lady. These three children are looking up at Our Lady, but she's not. She's quite close. There was light coming forth from her. She told the children not to be afraid, and Lucy immediately started speaking to her. And she addressed Our Lady in the polite Portuguese address. Would your grace have the kindness to tell me where you come from? This is how Lucy would always address Our Lady. It's like saying ma'am in English. Yes. Excuse me, ma'am. But, you know, that sort of address. In Portuguese, it would say, would your grace have the kindness to say this? Our Lady told Lucy, I am of heaven. Then Lucy asked what she wanted. Our Lady asked the children to return on the 13th of every month for the next 6 months at the same hour that they were showing up today, that day, basically noon. And she promised that later on she would tell them who she was and what she wanted. When Lucy heard that she was from heaven, she immediately wanted to get some information about things that people in heaven would know. She said, will we go to heaven? Yes, says Our Lady, all three will go to heaven. And Lucy asked three separate questions for each of the children. When she asked about Francisco, Our Lady said, yes, Francisco too, but he will have to pray many rosaries. Then, after going through the three seers, Lucy thought about two girls in the village who had recently died. They had died at a young age. And she said of the first one, I think her name was something like Maria dos Neves, is she in heaven? Yes, she is in heaven. And then she said, what about Amelia? And Our Lady said, she will be in purgatory until the end of the world. So with one of them, Maria dos Neves, she said she was already in heaven. The other one would be in purgatory until the end of the world. Then Our Lady entrusted the children with a mission. She asked them if they were willing to accept all of the sufferings that God would send them and offer them in reparation for sin and for the conversion of sinners. These two same intentions. Are you willing to suffer? And are you willing to offer your sufferings for the conversion of sinners and in reparation for sin? The children could not resist the lady. They said yes. And Our Lady answered by saying that they would have much to suffer, but that the grace of God would be their comfort. At that point, she opened her hands. Until that point, her hands were folded, but then she opened her hands, and there was this mysterious light that came forth from her hands and sort of encircled the three children. And when this was happening, Lucy says that they felt like they could see themselves in God. It's like they felt the presence of God, and they could see themselves in that presence more clearly than if they were looking at themselves in a mirror. Somehow, it's like they were looking at themselves in the presence of God. And this sensing of the presence of God made the children fall to their knees. After a little while, Our Lady sort of withdrew this light, and she asked the children to pray the rosary every day for peace and for the end of the war, and then she left. And that was the first of the apparitions. As I say, maybe 10 minutes. Each of these apparitions takes about 10 minutes long at the most. And I think we can look at all of the legitimate apparitions of Our Lady and learn more about her, because there's so little written about Our Lady in the Gospels. We have to go to the legitimate apparitions to understand Our Lady and who she is. And it's striking that Our Lady takes the time to answer the somewhat childish questions of a 10-year-old girl. She's very patient. She's very patient with the questions of Lucy. It's extraordinary that she promised all three of them heaven. Obviously, that would not be very good information for us. If we were told that we were to go to heaven, it would probably, instead of motivating us to do more in order to get to heaven, it would probably, we would draw the conclusion we don't have to do anything. But Our Lady is safe in telling them that they will go to heaven. She also lets them know the eternal fate of these two recently deceased girls. All of this was providential, and as I say, certainly we were meant to know what Our Lady answered and to draw lessons for ourselves. It's comforting to us that one of the girls was in heaven shortly after dying. And sort of what we would expect for a girl coming from a very Catholic village. At the same time, it's quite disturbing that this other girl, who's just a peasant at the beginning of the 20th century, living in a Catholic village, that she had committed sins sufficient to warrant her being in purgatory until the end of the world. A certain priest investigated. He wanted to know who Amelia was, and was there anything that might be found in Amelia's life that would seem to justify her being in purgatory till the end of the world. What he found out was that she died in circumstances involving an irremediable dishonor in the matter of chastity. So it was something involved with the sin of impurity. And there's a great focus in Fatima, as I say, upon sin and the consequences of sin. So Our Lady is already teaching the children about the terrible consequences of sin. When you commit sin, there's a crime committed against God that has to be paid for. And if you don't pay for it in this life, you have to pay for it in the next life until it's finally paid. And if it takes until the end of the world, that's what it takes. You still have to pay, even if it takes that long. We know that later on, Our Lady will tell Jacinta that many souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh. And this is before the so-called sexual revolution of the 60s, which totally broke down all sexual mores, all inhibitions, telling us that certain behaviors are wrong and even forbidden by law. We should also note how Our Lady's mission for the three children is the exact same mission that the angel gave to them. They are to pray and make sacrifices for the conversion of sinners. They are to pray and make sacrifices for reparation for sin. She asks the three children also to pray the rosary every day. And this is something that she's going to tell them at every single apparition. Every single apparition she's going to say to them, pray the rosary every day. And at the end, when she reveals her name, she will say, not, I am Our Lady of Fatima, but I am Our Lady of the Rosary. Just like in Lourdes, St. Bernadette was continually asking Our Lady her name. And finally, at the very, very end, she said, I am the Immaculate Conception. So in Fatima, Our Lady will say, I am Our Lady of the Rosary. She says that Francisco, who cannot hear her, and Francisco did not hear the angel either, she says that he will have to pray many rosaries before he can go to heaven. And so tying for us the rosary to our salvation, showing that there's a connection between our recitation of the rosary and our salvation. After that day, you know, of course, after the apparitions, Francisco would say to Lucy and Jacinta, so what did the angel say? Or what did Our Lady say? Please tell me. And he couldn't wait until they would be willing to tell him. And so Lucy says, well, Our Lady says that you're going to go to heaven, but you have to pray many rosaries first. From that day, Francisco did not stop praying rosaries. He would often leave the other two, and when they would say, hey, come and play with us, he would just hold up his rosary and say, no, I've got, you know, you remember what Our Lady said, I've got to pray rosaries, that's what I'm doing. And when you're ready to say the rosary, then I'll come down, I'll pray the rosary with you. After this apparition and the succeeding apparitions, the children seem to have a superhuman strength. They certainly had a strength that's not explicable by merely human calculations. They will have extremely difficult crosses to bear. Our Lady predicts that they will have many sufferings, and in fact, they had terrible sufferings awaiting them. And yet, they bore them with extreme strength, extreme fortitude. And their strength came somehow from the presence of Our Lady, but also from that light that came forth from her. They had somehow experienced this presence of God, and that made them so attached to God and Our Lady that even the most difficult of the sufferings here below did not break their strength. And I think that's also a lesson for us. They speak today about coping mechanisms. Talk to people about what's your coping mechanism. How do you cope? Well, we must try to make the Immaculate Heart our coping mechanism. Our Lady says, my Immaculate Heart will be your refuge. We must try to habitually have recourse to Our Lady in times of difficulty. We definitely need a special strength to fight against Satan in these times. We live in insane times. People think that man is God, and they've got all of these ideas that are totally crazy. With gender theory and the sexual revolution, the modern democratic governments that legislate as to what's right and wrong, the structure of human society as if God does not exist, the forcing of materialism down everybody's throats, and you're walking around, you feel like you're living in an insane asylum. And this is difficult. This is difficult for those people who practice religion. So we have to have recourse to our Lord and our Lady. They must be our strength, as they were for the children. I mean, we obviously don't have the special grace of having seen Our Lady or having seen the Angel of Portugal, what have you. Yet at the same time, we do have the grace of having the faith. So we must put that into practice. Just try it. The following month, the 13th of June, there were 50 people present at the Home Oak with the three seers, because shortly after the apparition, even though the three children had agreed not to tell anybody, yet Jacinta was a sanguine, and as soon as she saw her mother, she could not resist saying, Mother, Mother, guess what? We saw a beautiful lady in the Cova de Iria. And then all hell broke loose because everybody was mocking the children and making fun of them. Yet there were some people who believed, and there were other people who were curious. And what we will find is this 1 month break between the apparitions is wise on the part of heaven, because it gives time for word to get around. So the first apparition is just the three children. The second apparition is 50 people, and those 50 people have 1 month to tell a lot of other people. By the next time, there's thousands of people there, and it just keeps going. It just keeps snowballing like that as the numbers increase till you get to October, and there was about 70,000 people there who all knew that there was a miracle predicted to happen on that October the 13th. So Our Lady appears again on the 13th of June. She repeated her request that they come on the 13th of every month and that they pray the rosary. She also asked Lucy to learn how to read. I've already noted how Lucy's mother, Maria Rosa, knew how to read, and that was a fairly rare skill in their area. Lucy asked for the cure of a sick man. Our Lady promised to cure him within the year if he converted. Lucy also asked her to take them to heaven. She knew now that she and Francisco and Jacinta would go to heaven. And Our Lady made a prediction at that point. She said that Francisco and Jacinta would die soon, but that Lucy would live on, and that she was to be an instrument to make Our Lady known and loved. And Our Lady told her, Jesus wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. To whoever embraces this devotion, I promise salvation. Lucy was certainly sad at learning that she would have to live on without the companionship of her cousins, that they would die soon and go to heaven and just leave her back to face all the difficulties that they had been facing in the past month. Because by now they were aware that it's not easy being a visionary. It's not an easy role to take on, to say, okay, these are the children who have seen Our Lady. You know. So Our Lady told her, don't lose heart. I will never forsake you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. After this, Our Lady opened her hand and communicated the same divine light to them that she had on May 13th. And this time, she held in her right hand a heart encircled with thorns that were piercing it. And Lucy said that they understood that this was the Immaculate Heart of Mary, outraged by the sins of humanity and seeking reparation. And of course, Our Lady, for the first time on the 13th of June, revealing this secret, which we will see in another conference, is the primary focus of the Secrets of Fatima, that God has arranged for devotion to the Immaculate Heart to be the solution, the final solution to the problems of the world. So the world either embraces this devotion to the Immaculate Heart and saves itself, or it refuses and perishes. After this, Our Lady left, and just with this apparition of alone, we have a certain proof of the authenticity of the apparition, in that the predictions that Our Lady made were fulfilled to the letter. It was just a few years later that Francisco and Jacinta died. There was an epidemic, I think, of the cholera that was sweeping around Europe, and Francisco and Jacinta died in that epidemic, while Sister Lucy did not die until 2005. When she was 98 years old. We see again how Our Lady comforts Lucy and encourages her to have a supernatural confidence, this promise that Our Lady will sustain us in our troubles if we have recourse to her. As I say, this apparition was the first mention of the plans for God, the essence of the secret of Fatima. The full secret is not given until July the 13th, and I will dedicate an entire conference to to the apparitions of July 13th. The next conference will be on those apparitions and on the secret of Fatima. So we will, in this conference, we will skip the apparition of July the 13th. After the apparition, the children, as I say, they had a lot to suffer. There were people constantly coming over to talk to them, incessantly asking them the exact same questions. Endless interrogations. Most of the people did not believe. Some engaged in mockery. And perhaps worst of all, at least for Lucy, her own parents did not believe her. I mentioned that their parents had never known their children to lie, ever, never telling a single lie. And the parents were very strict on lying. And yet, the parents of Lucy somehow believed that she made up this whole story about Our Lady visiting. And they threatened her, they coddled her, they did everything possible in order to get her to admit that she was lying. They even administered corporal punishment to her in order to get her to admit that she was lying. But of course, she was not. Besides that, they were just upset at all the trouble that was coming on the family because of the apparitions. The next month was August, after July, which we will cover later. And the children did not make it to their appointment with Our Lady on the 13th of August because they were kidnapped by a Freemason who was the mayor of their region. His name was Arthur de Oliveira Santos. He was a rabid, radical Mason. He founded the Masonic Lodge in Urim. Urim was like the capital of that region. And as I say, he was the administrator of that whole region. He was so fanatical in his love of Freemasonry that he named his children Liberty and Democracy. One of them was named Liberty, the other one was named Democracy. This guy was totally committed to Freemasonic ideology, and he did not like the news of these apparitions getting around. The last thing he wanted to see was a revival of the religion that he was trying to suppress. He was trying to deliver people from religion, and then there's this news coming out that three children had seen Our Lady in Fatima, and everybody was getting excited, and all these people were gathering. So he summoned the three children to visit him. He was 9 miles away, and T. Marto, the father of Jacinta and Francisco, he's like, no, there's no way my children are going. They don't know how to ride on a donkey. They would keep falling off the donkey if they went. And I can't expect them to walk 9 miles, right? Whereas Lucy's parents were a lot more harsh. They were like, let her, if it's true, let her speak for herself. If she gets in trouble, it's her fault. Let her walk the distance and speak to this man. So Lucy had to go, and she went with her uncle, T. Marto, the father of Francisco and Jacinta. And this Arthur de Oliveira Santos interrogated her, and he especially tried to get Lucy to reveal the secret that she had received on the 13th of July, but she refused. 3 days later, the 13th of August, was the day of the apparition, and he showed up in the morning at their house, and he arrived with his car. It's very rare to have a car at that time. And he told them, oh, I'm a believer too. I want to take you to the site of the apparition. I'll give you a ride. That way you'll get there in safety, blah, 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 blah. And they said, no, thank you. It's not necessary. So he had to change tactics. And he says, well, let's go talk to the parish priest. And they agreed. So they went to the parish priest, and the priest interrogated Lucy. Then this, again, Arthur pretended to believe, and he said, well, I've got my car waiting here. I'll take you to the site. And that time they said, okay. So he drove off and started going in the direction of Fatima. Then all of a sudden, they took a right turn and headed straight to his house. It took them about an hour and a half to get to his house, and by that time, they had missed their appointment. Back at Fatima, there were between 18 and 20,000 people waiting for the three children. And they were quite anxious when the children did not arrive, and then they heard that they had been kidnapped by the mayor, and they started to get angry. But Our Lady, in her graciousness, she still manifested herself to a certain degree. The people who were there heard thunder, and they saw lightning, and then they saw this little delicate white cloud come down and settle on that holm oak, that same tree, and then stay a little while, and then go away. And while the cloud was there, the ground and the trees and the people's faces were reflecting various colors of the rainbow. It was like the sun was reflecting off the cloud, was reflecting off the faces and causing a whole prism of colors. The fact was that Our Lady had kept her appointment, and those 18 to 20,000 people from there would go and tell a lot more people. So the news would keep spreading, and when people would come and have sort of a positive experience, and even though they didn't see Our Lady yet, they could see from the three children, or they could see from these other signs that Our Lady had truly come, they would go back and they would be extremely enthusiastic when speaking to others about the apparitions, and they would get many more people to come the following month. Back at the mayor's house, or rather the mayor's, he took them later on from his house to his office, and he had the children undergo nine interrogations. He tried to bribe them. He had a doctor examine them for insanity. He tried to trip them up in contradictions. He tried to get other people to question them and trip them up in contradictions. He even put them in the public prison with the common criminals. And none of this was of any avail. He could not get them to contradict themselves, and especially he could not get them to reveal the secret. They consistently said, no, we're not telling you the secret. Finally, he had recourse to extreme means, to terror. He basically threatened them with death, and he staged a scene where they were taken out one by one. So one of them would go out, and he would say, I'm going to boil you in oil if you do not tell me the secret. And we're going to start with you, Francisco, and take him out and say, okay, so we boiled him in oil. Now are you going to reveal the secret? And each time, the children remained firm. And they said, no, we will not reveal the secret. And this is one of the reasons why I say that they displayed really a superhuman strength throughout the entire ordeal from May to October. It's easy for us to look back and say, wow, that's an incredible story, but none of us have ever been in a situation where our life has been on the line, where we were threatened with death if we did not do something. And we all know that is the ultimate test of our courage, when someone says, you've got to either do this or you die, one or the other. But the fact is that the children were very attached to Our Lady, and they would rather die than disobey Our Lady. And it just gives us an example of what those who are attached to Our Lady are capable of. And this is the way we have to defeat Freemasonry. This is the way Freemasonry is defeated, through a strong faith. These children believed in Our Lady much more than they believed in any earthly thing. Even though this man had all power, he had the executive power of using the administrative arm in order to inflict punishment and so on, for them that was nothing. That was nothing. It's just like, we belong to Our Lady, whatever she wants, that's most important. Whatever you want, forget about it. The children were sent home by Arthur de Oliveira on the Feast of the Assumption, the 15th of August. So they had been there effectively 3 days. 4 days later, which was a Sunday, they were out with their sheep at a place called Valinhos, and they saw Our Lady at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So Our Lady wanted to still appear to them, even though they missed their other appointment. She repeated her request for them to return, and she announced again that a great miracle would be worked on the 13th of October, because Lucy had asked on the 13th of July, can you do something so that people will believe when we say that you are appearing to us? Can you work a miracle or something? Because so many people don't believe us when we say that you appeared. She said, yes, I will work a miracle on the 13th of October. And I don't know, it's hard for me to think of any time where you have such a prediction on the part of Our Lady, when everybody knows that there's a miracle that's supposed to happen on a certain day. The miracle's on the 13th of October. Everybody knows ahead of time. It's usually just, well, a miracle happens and there's just a certain number of people who happen to be there. She said that the miracle would have been greater if they had not been kidnapped. And that's kind of hard for us to imagine. She also says, Saint Joseph will come with the child Jesus to give peace to the world. And by this, she was foretelling the end of the war, which would end shortly after her apparition on the 13th of October. The last thing Our Lady said was, pray, pray very much, and make sacrifices for sinners, for many souls go to hell because there is no one to sacrifice themselves and pray for them. And this appeal of Our Lady is an appeal to us. If there's anything of a supernatural spirit in us, we should be moved to do something for the salvation of souls. This is the plea of a mother who is very distressed at her children losing their souls for all eternity. And she's making the appeal to the three children to pray and make sacrifices for sinners so that they're converted, so that they can go to heaven. And she's making the appeal to us as well. We know that souls are falling into hell like crazy, like snowflakes. How many people out there today are really serious about saving their souls, are interested at all about saving their souls? And yet we've been given the grace of realizing the enormity of eternity and what it means to serve God. And we've also been given these very beautiful means in order to draw down graces upon sinners, these beautiful prayers of the angel, these beautiful prayers that Our Lady teaches the children on the 13th of July. Consider if we took those words of Our Lady and we reversed them, if we just turned them around, it would read like this. Many souls can go to heaven because of the prayers and sacrifices that we offer for them. That's effectively what she's saying. If she's saying that many souls go to hell because no one prays for them, she's also saying that many souls can go to heaven if people pray for them. The following month, the 13th of September, there were 25,000 to 30,000 people at the COVID area. And as I say, it was sort of a natural amphitheater, so it could fit many people in such a way that they could all see the three children. Many of those present witnessed a sort of globe of light descending on the home oak at the time of the apparition. In the month previous, the children had undertaken many voluntary penances. I don't know if you remember, but in the last conference, I quoted Lucia saying that after the angel appeared to them, that they did not take on any voluntary penances, but they just kept praying the prayer of the angel over and over again. That was the only penance they did. But after the apparition of Our Lady, they did take on voluntary penances. They were giving away their lunches. They found some poor children and they were giving them away, or they would just give it to the sheep to eat. Instead of eating their lunches, they were eating these bitter acorns that they found around the coveted area. They were horrible to taste. They took a rope. One day they were walking along, and it was Francisco or Lucy who said, "Hey, look at this rope. Look, we can do this." And they tied this rope around their waist. And they were also flagellating themselves with nettles, with these thorns, these thorn bushes. So their passion for the conversion of sinners was going to an extreme. Our Lady repeated her usual message, the request to come on the 13th of month, the request to pray the rosary, and also to pray the rosary for the end of the war, and also promising the miracle, saying the same things. Then she said to them, "God is pleased with your sacrifices. Then he does not want you to sleep with the rope on, but only to wear it during the daytime." In other words, these three children, who again are 10, 9, and 7, had taken their penances to such a degree that Our Lady herself had to tell them, "You've gone too far. You've been even too generous with God. You must not wear the rope during the nighttime. You must take it off when you go to bed." But allowing them to keep it on during the day. There was a couple people who had written some letters to Our Lady, and they'd given them to Lucy, and Lucy said to Our Lady, "Here's a couple letters for you that the people have written for you. And also, someone got you a bottle of perfumed water. Here you go." And Our Lady just simply told her, "Well, we don't need these things in heaven. We don't need these things in heaven." So she did not take them from Lucy. The climax, as far as the people attending were concerned, was the 13th of October. On that day, there were 50 to 70,000 people present. Because of all these people coming to the coveted area, the grounds were completely trashed. The family had given up trying to grow anything there. They used to grow vegetables and things, but they couldn't grow anything there. And moreover, Lucy now had absolutely no time to graze the flock, because people just were incessantly showing up and asking her questions. So the family, on the economic side, was crumbling. So that on that day, there was 50 to 70,000 present. Our Lady declared herself to be Our Lady of the Rosary. She asked one last time for the rosary to be prayed every day. She made another prediction: the war would end soon. And it seems easy for us to predict that after the fact. But of course, no one knew when the war would end. It had been going on for 4 years. How much longer would it last? No one knew. But Our Lady said the war would end soon, and it did end soon. She asked for a chapel to be built. Lucy made her usual request for the healing of the sick. Our Lady said, "Some yes, others no. People must amend their lives and ask pardon for their sins. They must not offend our Lord anymore, for he is already too much offended." In regard to those words, Lucy said later on, "Who will grant me to make those words echo through the whole world, so that all the children of our Mother in Heaven may hear the sound of her voice? Stop committing sins. Stop offending our Lord." When Our Lady was ascending back to heaven, she opened her hands, and there was this reflection that was coming from them that was projecting onto the sun. And this caused Lucy to say, "Look at the sun," to all the people who were there. So Lucy alone with the other two children were actually seeing Our Lady and seeing this reflection coming, directing Lucy's view to the sun, and she told everybody, "Look at the sun." Strangely, the people could easily look at the sun, and it began by just shooting out these rays and painting the landscape in different colors, like when Our Lady came on the 13th of August. And then it seemed to be sort of shaking and trembling, and then it stopped doing this and transitioned to a second stage where it sort of detached itself from its normal position and started plunging, at least it seemed, towards the earth. This, of course, was shocking for the people there and a very stark reminder of the fact that they were creatures, the fact that our existence hangs on a single thread. What a reminder of our lowliness, this miracle of the sun, that we are not God, that we are not God. Yes, no one of us can control the movement of the sun. But this was not at all what the three children saw. Remember that Our Lady said that the child Jesus would come with Saint Joseph on the 13th of October. So they had a vision of Saint Joseph holding the child Jesus, and the child Jesus was blessing the world. This was him giving peace to the world and stopping the world war. Our Lady was standing in a white robe beside them with the sun next to them. Then there was like different scenes, and that scene went away. And then there was a vision of Our Lord and Our Lady of Sorrows. And then a third vision, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. This concluded the Fatima apparitions. Six visits of Our Lady to three shepherd children, each visit lasting about 10 minutes apiece. This is Our Lady's means to conquer the allied forces of Satan against God in the form of Freemasonry and communism. This is what she decides to do. This is how God addresses the problem of man's self-deification. He sends Our Lady to speak to three unknown children for 10 minutes on six occasions. And that seems incredible to us if we reflect upon it. Why would God do this? It's certainly not the way we would plan to defeat Freemasonry and communism. But the fact is that God loves to use the most disproportionate means to achieve his great victories so that we can all be certain that he is behind the victory. In this case, he uses his humble mother to intervene in the affairs of the world in the huge conflicts of the 20th century. And so she chooses to do it by just speaking to three preteen children and having them pass her messages onto the world. And this is a humility that confounds the pride of the world. She comes in such a humble way. And this way of her communicating to the world also demands humility of us. We have to be willing to believe in a message brought to us by children. We have to be willing to believe, for instance, Sister Lucy, when she tells us what Our Lady said. We have to be willing to believe the proofs for the authenticity of Fatima. We have to be willing to say, well, the proofs that have given to me are sufficient. I don't need further proofs. And so I'm willing to accept Lucy's word when she says this or that has happened. There are certain prideful souls, including priests, one of them, especially a Jesuit priest before the council named Father Donis, who tried to destroy the authenticity of these apparitions. And I think part of the reason is they don't like the way in which Our Lady gives a message through a young girl. They don't like this. They want Our Lady to communicate in a different way. But just listening to the words of a 10-year-old girl and having the 10-year-old girl teach them about what they need to do to save their souls and what's the solution for the world's problems, they don't like that. They don't like that. And so they try to ruin her credibility. So the fact that Our Lady chooses these unknown children as her instruments to launch her Fatima campaign against the allied powers of Satan, it should be an encouragement to us. Because let's face it, we don't have a lot of power. We're not the powerful of this world. We don't have a lot of resources. So it's clear that in the mind of Our Lady, it's not a huge power, huge institutions, huge individuals that's going to make for the victory against Satan. It's more of a grassroots effort, we would say today. It's little people. It's insignificant people who understand the request of Our Lady and are generous, who really have more resources than they know. We have many more resources than we know. We just lack faith in them. We don't think that they're that powerful, when in fact, they are that powerful. So if we just simply fulfill the request of Our Lady of Fatima as generously as possible, then we will be able to accomplish great things. Every single one of us has a role to play in fulfilling the request of Our Lady of Fatima.